cut my way up out them trenches, just to be specific. I had to get it how I live, now I just live to get it. Making history with them Clippers, cause it was written. Blessing essences with my presence, because I'm gifted.
Cut, cut my way out.
I had to
cut, cut my way out.
Hey, let me tell you how I
cut, cut my way out.
Watch me
cut, cut
my way out.
What's the word? Up there, Mr. Campbell.
Man, getting to it.
Yeah.
Getting to it, bro.
That's what's up. I mean, grab my little tea. Yeah, man.
Got my little water.
Right. Water. So what's the word, man?
Man, let me see some of that merch in the background. Man, that orange hat fight. Oh, we got to send them hats out, too.
Okay.
We got to get them hats out.
Preferably. Yeah, Barber, Pink Barber. Make sure you, once we get off, just shoot it to me. I'll make sure we get them out.
All right. I'm still waiting on the dresses. I only got one address.
Okay. Yeah, man. So, yeah, back at it. So what I did, I end up using my barber area at home.
Mm-hmm.
Just turning it into my podcast area. So I got the Cadillac chair, I got the old school, the old classic I had put back together, and
it looked nice though. I love it. I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna bite that shirt hanging up with the shelf in the head. Biting it.
That was Oscar's idea.
I like that. That's dope.
Coco,
what's the knowledge?
Yeah.
I can't believe out of all the pictures I moved to this laptop, I don't have not one other. I do. Okay, so it wasn't showing me all the pictures then.
Right. She said, okay. She said, I can't text tonight.
What's up, Plus? Man, so what you got planned for the week? What's on the agenda?
Man, not a whole lot. Just getting in the shop grinding, man. We got my mother's still in town. My uncle's 70th birthday, so we're doing it real big for him this weekend, man. So just looking forward to celebrating that with him, man. Getting to that space where, man, all my parents, my uncles and aunts, everybody, you know, they hitting. They're hitting that age, man, where they're getting up there. So, you know, very conscious about time and whatnot.
Yeah. That's part of life,
though. Yeah. No doubt.
That's part of it. I think about that more and more now, man. Like, am I prepared for that transition in life where, you know, you have to start to kind of reassess what you're doing and how it's gonna benefit your family long term. Because at this point, I think we finally reached, both of us are finally at that age where the things that we do, we're not doing them for us no more.
Right.
We ain't really gonna reap the benefits from it. It'll be what's left behind that our family can reap the benefits from it. And I know for you, as well as for myself, that's extremely important to me, to make sure that my efforts leave capability for my family. Because once I'm gone, you know, I'm gone.
Right.
Ain't no nothing. I'm gone. When I'm gone, I'm gone.
Right.
So I wanna, you know, put my efforts as best as I can.
Yeah. Say no duos. Yeah.
So I went to Atlanta this weekend, bro.
Yeah.
Went to Atlanta this weekend, man. This past weekend, rather.
Okay.
And I got to meet. Oh, there it is. I found it, bro.
Okay.
I found it. You see me over there? I found you, bro. So I got to meet. Hold on. Let me show y'all what I found. Show y'all what I found. You see it?
Right.
Yeah. You see it? You see it? I got to meet Israel Wright.
That's what's up.
In person and learn hands-on some very, 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 very exciting. I can't wait to implement information from him. I actually practiced on Erica when I got home. I did, bro. I was hitting ingrowns and checking her skin, checking the, you know, pulling out hairs and all kind of stuff, man. So I'm really, really excited about that, so, man. So
how long was the class?
Well, it was more than a class, man. It was way more than I expected. It was a class, photo shoot, videographer. It was dope. But I think it lasted maybe 2.5-3 hours, maybe, I want to say. Yeah, about 2.5-3 hours. I wish we can get him on here so he can discuss it, man, because I think more people should, you know, they should look into it, because it's just off the stuff that I learned and pairing it with the stuff that I knew and the things that I thought I knew. Uh-huh. It's a whole lot of it that translates, right? We all think that, okay, so I'm a barber, I cut hair, I talk to people, right. I clean my tools, and, you know, if I see anything, because, you know, we all got to do our consultation, which is, you know, pre-checking the hair and all that. If I see anything, it's my job to inform my client, let them know, and give them my best advice on how they can treat it, what they can do to treat it, or if they need to go and seek the observation of a professional. Right. However, it's a lot of things that you can address in your chair. It's a lot of things that you as a barber, you have the licensing, you have the skill set, and as long as you get the tools and the understanding of what you're doing, you can treat a lot of this stuff in your chair. Mm-hmm. And not only treat it, I feel like barbers are probably in the best position to help clients to do a lot of self-care, because part of being a barber is teaching people how to take care of their hair, right? So, you know, it was a barber who told me that in order to get my hair to last a certain way, I got to train it. I had never heard that term before. It's like, well, yeah, you got to train your hair. You brush it a certain way over a certain amount of time, the growth pattern will change.
Right.
You know, your hair start to grow in a different direction versus if you just let it grow wild, it's going to do what it's going to do, right? So if you have somebody who have, you know, skin conditions, or they got ingrowns, or they're doing something that's causing skin conditions and ingrowns, you can let them know first by being able to identify what that thing is. Second, you can resolve it, or at least relieve it, right? Okay. Once you relieve it or resolve it, you can give them a tangible plan of action on how they can continue what you've done in the chair at home. Right. That way, now it's two people working for the same goal to, you know, affect somebody's life. Yeah. They'll keloid his skin. A lot of people, especially barbers, don't know how to deal with it. They can recognize it because, I mean, we know what a keloid looks like. Do you know how to address the skin around a keloid? Do you know how to recommend your client to a plastic surgeon and what expectations to give them before they go?
Okay.
Because once they get that keloid removed surgically, the hair follicles there are no more. The hair is not going to grow there, unfortunately. You may have some people who have amazing stories where they got a keloid removed and they did retain some kind of hair growth. But majority of people, once they get a keloid removed, no hair is going to grow there anymore because the skin underneath is damaged, right? But imagine how many people walk around because they got the bumps on the back of their neck, so bumps in their face or under their neck, or they got keloided skin, and they just let their hair grow out because they're too ashamed of it.
Right.
Well, you can offer some relief with that. So that's what I was most excited about. And the simple stuff, right? The way I'll be washing hair moving forward is finna change, right?
Really?
Oh, my. It's finna change, bro. Huh? I put it to you like this. I just spent $250-something on Amazon just for stuff to wash hair.
Huh?
Oh, it's finna go through the roof. I'm finna change the game with the way I wash hair. Because I saw some things he was doing that he was teaching me, and I was thinking about the stuff that I was already doing and how I can marry him to make him, you know what I mean?
Barbie is asking what class is this?
What is it? KMT, keloiditis. Oh, my God, I got my notes in there. I just took it, so, you know, I'm just still. But Israel Wright out in Atlanta does a class where you identify. He helps you to learn how to identify certain skin conditions. You ever seen people that had bumps on the back of their necks or ingrowns underneath their neck, ingrowns in their head, or people who have real dry skin that when you cut it, they bleed? Right. Well, a lot of that stuff is skin conditions, is bacterial condition, is fungus. It could be just lack of proper treatment, lack of treatment over a long period of time. And they the only solution that they have really up until this point is to go to a dermatologist and get a steroid shot or put some kind of topical cream on it or something. They can give you the medicated shampoo. But all those things aren't fixes because they, except for the steroid shot, right? And for anybody that don't know, a steroid shot is just like a quote-unquote locational immune booster, right? You get a steroid shot and it'll help peak your blood cells and all that stuff to heal certain things, but it's not a permanent fix at all. It's very temporary. But a lot of that stuff that you can resolve, you have to actually treat the problem. Like an ingrown isn't resolved if you just cut everything down around it and get the ingrown out one time, because it might grow back ingrown again, right? So you have to get the ingrown out, clean out the pore where the ingrown came, and then treat that over time so that the hair can learn how to grow straight up, because it's a lot of dirt and bacteria underneath the skin. If you don't clean that, well, that's what caused the hair to not be able to grow out, right? So it's teaching you how to you know, learn all this stuff, how to learn it and apply it.
Okay.
Is there any way you can send it to me? I'm very interested in this. I have a client who has bumps from a CPAP machine. Oh, yeah, from it being wrapped around them. Right. And I wanted to learn how to help people who have paralysis, like my hubby. Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll send them to you. His name is Israel Wright on Instagram. But I'll send you a tag. And the beauty of it is, I personally drove out there because I'm a in-person kind of learner. I learn better when I'm talking to people. But he also offers a online course where you can go online and, you know, you can, just like this, you can do a Zoom, or you can get a course and you can learn it at your own pace. Once you purchase it, I believe you own it. So you can always go back and, you know, revisit it. But I think in the barbering industry, information like that is only going to be helpful in the industry. The more that we can do to help service people, that's how you grow the industry from the inside. You don't grow the industry by increasing the price and dressing nice and making the barbershops look all pretty and aesthetically pleasing. All those things look good on the surface, but they're not actually doing anything to improve the industry,
right?
Being able to treat people beyond just giving them a haircut and a pleasant conversation is how you strengthen the industry at its core, right? This is my personal thoughts. This is all unprofessional, solicited opinions. You know what I'm saying? So don't hold me to nothing if it don't work for you. This is what I think, right?
and I think it's important to be able to offer, you know, services that also add value to you as a professional.
I do. And I think you hit that nail right on the head, because for a long time, and even now, you know, you got a lot of people that preach to barbers, the services you got to add have to be barber specific. Right. No, they don't. Right. No, they don't. The services that you add have to be client specific. They have to be things that help improve whatever it is that a client is bringing to you. Think about the old school barbershops. They wasn't just selling haircuts and t-shirts. They were selling haircuts, t-shirts, life insurance, making connections. I know a barber right now who gets paid to connect people. Think about that. Who got more connections than a barber? He gets paid to be like a liaison to people.
Right. Yeah, speaking of that, I'm going to talk to you about something off camera that I'm about to implement that I think maybe, you know what I'm saying, something you might be interested in, and it would be dope, and then, you know, we'll share it with everybody over time, and some people may be doing it. But one of my clients had brought it to my attention. Actually, I was cutting in a shop that he had. He's not a barber. He's a banker into real estate and whatnot. So he always thinks from a professional and a monetary standpoint, learning how to just build finances. So I want to run that past
you. Okay, say less.
Because it's in the direction of connecting people. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, man, that's a lane that's out there. But like I said, I think you hit the nail on the head, man. Is how can you build up the industry? I think that's the question that, unfortunately, social media neglects. We want to talk about price. We want to talk about what's the best clipper brand. We want to talk about what's the best chair to get. We want to talk about prime locations. And more importantly, a lot of barbers on social media right now want to pocket watch. They want to watch everybody else's pockets.
Right.
At the end of the day, is any of those conversations going to stimulate the industry, though? Right. They'll stimulate camaraderie, you know.
Right.
We could talk about it. Shit, we can argue about it.
Right.
But is it going to grow the industry?
Right.
Because in order to capture success for yourself, you have to in some way be implementing something that creates success for the industry that you're working in.
Right.
Without the industry being strong, over time, it'll diminish to nothing where nobody can be successful with it. They're already trying to push home because you've seen what they did to us when COVID hit. Every big clipper company out there, immediately they switched up their market. Their market was no longer barbers for that whole time. And if you think I'm wrong, fact check me. Go and watch those ads. Go and check they if you can find it, their websites back then.
Yeah, they were definitely marketing.
You can fact check me. Everything I'm saying is backed up by what I saw for a fact with my eyes.
It was a lot of combo sets.
Absolutely. Combo sets. It was even barbers that they brought on to discuss how to teach people how to cut their own hair at home. And I couldn't be mad at them as offended as I was as a barber with a lot of stuff that these big clipper companies do.
Right.
I couldn't be mad at them because the businessman inside me understands that it's a business. Right. It's a survival mode. It's okay, well, we're not going to be getting that money, that big check we used to cut in every month from the barbering industry. That's not coming in because they're not working. They don't have it to spend. But the people who are at home who can't cut their own hair, who can't go to the barbershop, don't have the tools to cut their own hair, and they got the money, and they ain't doing nothing but sitting at home shopping because they can't go to work. Are we going to market them?
Right.
We're going to market them. Every few months, you see somebody trying to put a robot that do self-cuts.
Right. And it was funny because a lot of the combo sets that were going out were lower level clippers, not the brands, but just lower. They weren't pushing the professional, you know, higher end tools out there. They were more affordable, you know.
Yeah, they took them down.
Took
them down. And then the biggest slap in the face, of course, was the infamous, you know, barbers are not essential.
Right.
But yet, every time somebody that gets to determine who is essential get on TV to do their job, they got to go see a barber before they do it. So I don't really understand the correlation with that. So, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
It is what it is.
Right.
But I think that's an interesting conversation. What other things do you think are probably good investments for barbers to make where they can bring more value to themselves as far as their services beyond cutting hair?
That's a great question.
And it's for everybody in here too. If you guys think anything, drop it in the comments.
That's a great question because I've never thought of it from that standpoint. I've always thought about it from an individual type standpoint, you know, trying to leverage it, you know, my business to the standpoint where I can do some things outside of the industry, you know, be it, you know, real estate or something like that. So that's a really, really good question. And I would like to see some people.
I think it's a question that should open up some conversation with a lot of people in the industry because you and I both have, we've done a lot of these talking head videos, and we've talked to a lot of people who got a lot of opinions. And we talked to a lot of people who got a lot of really good opinions. Let me say that, really good opinions. And I would be interested as to what they think on a subject like that. For me personally, I think you have to first kind of step back, look at your barber chair and think about what all do you provide? And when I say that, I mean, what all do you provide unofficially? Officially, you provide a haircut, you provide a head shave, you provide hot towel, you provide barber related things. But unofficially, what things do you provide? Off the top, therapy. Off the top, connections, networking. Right. Off the top, availability in regards to filling in the voids where people can't. A lot of people, they need you for, you know, little stuff like, hey, I got this going on. Can you come to help me get this going on? Or a lot of people come to barbers for investment opportunities. We got a nonprofit doing this, and we just need somebody to help support it. We got the churches come to barbers every year. We got back to school events, and we need barbers to fill the demand for haircuts. Those are things that we do unofficially that a lot of barbers don't get credit for. It's a lot of barbers out here that's probably not on social media at all that give so much to themselves back to the industry that help stimulate it in so many ways, but they don't have a name. Nobody will know. So I think asking that question and trying to figure out what things can we add to our services that's more than a haircut, that's how you stimulate the industry, because now you becoming that, what's the name said all the time? The guy that got the digital gap and blade, what's his name? Marano.
Okay. Okay.
Marano said all the time, he called them upper echelon barbers. And up until this point, he's only associated it with the haircut and the service. But okay, another great example of that. Suge, I Create Confidence, Mr. I Create Confidence. Suge is actively going through that program where he got a certification so that he can become aligned with the Confess Project, where he can help identify stressors and conditions within men and women in his chair that may identify with mental health, that may identify with depression or things like that. He's certified to be able to identify that, but then he's also built up a network where he can recommend therapy to these people, and not just go to therapy, but he can recommend the right therapist to the right person. That in itself is an unofficial official service that he had. You understand what I'm saying? He had to go out and invest in himself to get certification. He had to go out and invest his time into getting connected with the I Confess Confess Project. And then now he goes and he provides that service in his chair. I don't know if his price reflects that added service that he does. But I think the question then is, you come back to the table and you try to figure out, is this a marketable business for me within this barbering thing? Because if it is, you got one more thing that you can add to your services that set you apart from the people who are unwilling to invest in themselves that way.
Right. I think for me that, you bring that up, it's a good point, because the truth of the matter, that's the beautiful part about our industry. What's up, DJ?
DJ, what's the word, bro?
There aren't any limits. You know what I mean? There's no ceiling. And so I think, this barbering industry will continue. He was saying, what's the topic? Just talking about DJ, first and foremost, Shy went to Atlanta and took Israel Wright course, just to add to his services and his value as a barber behind the chair. So we're talking about potential services from behind the chair that can add our value as barbers. So again, I was saying, that there's no limit. So to be able to think outside the box, because again, you're dealing with individuals. So I think it's a good point that you bring up, because nothing is off the table. We continue to grow and evolve in this industry. I think that also allows you to think outside of the box, something that I've seen that's in the box but out of the box, and I don't know if you've been paying any attention to Will Stam with his barber school. And we have a lot of traditional barber schools, but he's really taking it to another level, and from the outside looking in, he's making it fun, and he's also intertwining with the social media aspect too, teaching them how to market. So he has a social media room where they go over how to market and the whole social media platform. And so nothing is off the table. So that's pretty interesting. It makes you think outside the box and allows you to think outside the box.
Absolutely. I think it definitely makes you think outside. It forces you to think outside the box because, unfortunately, the industry has become so boxed in, right? People had a saying, the guy who's going to barber school today and the guy who went to barber school 4 years ago, due to how boxed in and the expectations of barbering is right now, the only way those two guys have a difference in what their expectations is coming out of school is if the guy who goes into school comes in with an understanding beyond barbering. And I say that whichever one has an understanding from a working perspective, like from a I want to grow a business, a successful business mindset. If you come into barbering like a lot of people do and you just want to get good at cutting hair, you're not going to think down that path because that path really doesn't have a lot to do with, it has nothing to do with cutting hair, honestly. Because if speaking of Will Stam, he just went live with a barbecue. And if your focus is on, like DJ said, luxury medical grade services, is going to force you to think outside the box because now you're entering to a space where you can't just come to work in your hoodie and your hat. You can't wear slides to work. You do have to pay attention to the environment that you're in. Even more so now, because if I'm dealing with something, it's one thing dealing with people's hair. We got to be sterile and clean dealing with the surface. So imagine how sterile and clean you need to be dealing with underneath the surface, right? In addition to that, your conversation going to be different. You can still be you, but you're going to have to speak with an understanding of this thing that you're now offering. You can't sound like you're shucking and jiving me and then you want to pull something out of my skin. Hell no! Get your ass out of here! No, absolutely not. So,
no, I was just giving a shout out to Success Addict.
Oh, ain't no problem. Ain't no problem with that.
Have him on as well.
I just think, man, it's a lot of things that we can, if we sat down as barbers and stylists, and more importantly, bro, if we sat at the table with estheticians, and we sat at the table with people who work within the mental health infrastructure, people who are therapists, rather it's holistic, medical, whatever the case may be, right? Hallucinogen, because there's a lot of those now. It's a lot of hallucinogen therapists. If we sat at the table with those three industries, I think that collectively we could come up with a format or at least a new list of services, even if it's only five services.
Who is that? Folliculitis services. You better be able to explain what the F is going on.
Absolutely. And you better be able to explain it from a medical perspective.
Who was that? Was that DJ? Who was that? DJ. Okay.
Yeah, you better be able to explain it from there, but you also better be able to understand and explain why it happens, what it is, how to treat it, and how to not let it come back.
Right.
There's the most important thing Israel said to me in that class is, people make the biggest mistake when they try to sell results. Or no, they try to sell removal. What you need to focus on is relief and results. Because you can relieve a lot of things that people are going through just by understanding what that thing is and how to treat it and how to teach them how to treat it at home so that when they come back, it's just like if let's take it back to barber. As a barber, it's my job to give you a haircut. It's my job to give you the best haircut of my ability, right? But if I give you the best haircut of my ability and you foul when I hand you the mirror, you ain't never been blazed like this when I hand you the mirror. Once I give you the mirror and you accept that I did my job and you pay me and we part ways, if next week while you at home, you like, man, I need to get this touched up, and you take your clippers to it and you tear your line up, or you try to fade it and you put a bunch of dark areas in your hair, well, what's happening is that's what a void is. You weren't taught how to treat that or how to take care of that in between time. Right. That's what happens with people's skin. Right. An esthetician to tell somebody, well, we're going to deep cleanse, we're going to rinse, we're going to rehydrate your skin, we're going to make it bounce again, we're going to bring the glow back, go through the whole process of doing it, and then Sally or John go home and put a bunch of pomade in their head, or they go home and put apple cider vinegar on their damn head, or they go home and put a bunch of perfume scented lotions and stuff all over their face. And they still haven't identified that my skin doesn't do well with these things, right? Well, now everything that you just relieved, not be relieved no more. It's gonna come back, and sometimes it's gonna come back worse. So it's you better know what you're talking about, but right. You better be able to explain to people once you leave here. What I'm showing you is over time there will be results. Right. I'm gonna relieve this thing that you're dealing with right now, but over time we'll have positive results if. And this is the disclaimer. If you work with me to help you, help me help you. When you go home, you can't use this, the stuff that you told me you was using, you can't use that no more. It don't work for you.
So I got a question with Israel and his teaching. Did he touch on or do you have an opinion? You know, I've seen barbers and even, you know, teachers in school believe that, you know, when you're dealing with something that flares up to that degree, it's not our job as professionals to deal with that. From a professional standpoint, we should then let them know that they need medical attention, you know, go to a dermatologist. What's your feeling on that, or what was Israel's feeling on that?
I think we kind of shared the same feelings on it. Of course, he has a lot more experience with that. But my immediate feelings when I hear that is you, the more you understand what you're dealing with, the more you teach yourself to identify what's going on, it's the same as a haircut. You're gonna know when something is outside of your scope of handling. If somebody comes in and they have alopecia, but they're also a burn victim, and they also got dense hair follicles that double and triple grow out of one follicle, I understand from doing my scalp analysis that's probably a haircut that I'm not going to be able to get to the level of what their expectations are, because they got so many layers of things that you have to work through to even get a foundation. So my opinion to that person is, one, I'm going to try to get you to understand where your condition is, right? These are the things that you do. These are the hills that we got to climb in order to find any kind of results with that. I think it's the same thing with skin problems, right? You're going to have, and he actually touched on it through the teachings, and he got, he break it down in tiers. If you want to know what tiers is, you got to go take the class. But in essence, what he's saying is, based on what tier of, I don't want, he said, don't, words are very specific. So he said, don't use words like problem or bad. You know what I mean? You want to identify something because you're dealing with people's vanity. Right. You don't want to break people down by attaching these negative, you know, associated words with what's going on with them, because they already coming in low and you're going to knock them down low or not. So you'll have people that have circumstances or situations or their sights to be a little bit more elevated than others. Well, if you identify something that doesn't fit within the teachings of what you know, then yes, I believe as a professional, you need to sit your pride aside and say, hey, I think in addition to what I'm doing, it will probably better service you or best service you if we talk to a dermatologist. Let's see what the dermatologist can do, because it looks like you have some things going on a little bit more than local. You have some things going on that may be associated with your diet. They may be associated with your blood. They may be associated with something hereditary. And let's get as much information as we can, because the beauty of it is, or the facts of it is, the more information you have as a professional, the better you can help somebody, right? It's just like cutting somebody's hair. You wouldn't just put on a blindfold and start cutting somebody's hair without doing a scalp analysis. Absolutely. The more information you have, the better you can help. That's why we ask questions like, have you washed your hair today? Do you have any product in your hair today? What do you usually get? How does it make you feel? Does a razor affect you this way? The more information you have, the better service you can provide. So I sum all that up to say, there's a place that exists where, yes, you definitely have to be willing to understand that this is something more. But I don't agree with, a lot of times we don't like to associate doctors with business. Right. At the end of the day, what a doctor does is a business.
Okay.
And they're going to do what they need to do to fulfill their business need. And in a lot of cases, unfortunately, when you're dealing with follicle problems, keloided skin, hair bumps that's then got real inflamed, Right. They're not going to give you a solution. A doctor or a dermatologist ain't going to go in there and pull that out. Not all over your head. They're not going to do that. They're going to give you a steroid shot, or they're going to give you some kind of medication or some kind of topical cream or medicated shampoo or something. Tell you to do that and in the hopes that you'll get some relief over time. But it's not going to solve the problem. So both got to exist.
So how are those? Just with that class and the teachings, how are those services priced? Like how do you?
Severity. It's priced on severity. Everybody needs something different. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to identify the severity of what somebody has going on. Right. It does have a pretty standard baseline price on it. And I guess that's just like a haircut that changes from place to place.
Okay.
You'll be trained on how to identify the severity of it. And being able to do that, you'll be able to then associate it with how much time it's going to invest, because everybody it's not an overnight thing, right? It's going to take you between 4 to 6 weeks before you see any real before and after results type thing. But granted.
Now, is that coming back week after week?
Yeah, every week.
Okay.
Every week, because it's your skin isn't like your hair, right? Your skin, you're not waiting 2 weeks for it to grow back.
Right.
What you're doing is you're going to provide a service. They're going to upkeep based on how you taught them how to wash their scalp, how you taught them how to wash their face, how to medically treat their face and their scalp, what things to avoid, just like you do with your diet. Your diet is off, you implement changes, and then you wait some time, and then you see what those changes have done to change your condition, right? And then if it's working, you continue that path. If it's not working, well, now you know you've eliminated everything that don't work. So now we can go back to the drawing board and we can figure out what does. Everybody's body type, everybody's skin, everybody's hair is different, right? So there is a baseline price. There is a baseline understanding of how long it should take you to do these services, just like cutting hair.
Right.
But that change is based on severity.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. And is it a situation, like you said, he's talked about not necessarily just focusing right away on results. So is there any kind of guarantees? You know, how do you come in? How do you come at the client with the services you're providing in the event that they don't get the one results that they thought they should receive?
Well, that's why he said we don't sell results. We sell and guarantee relief. Okay. That I can guarantee. I can guarantee you relief. And if you don't believe me, like I said, I came straight home and practiced on my wife. You can ask my wife. I can guarantee relief in those things that a lot of people deal with. Something real simple that a lot of people deal with that a lot of barbers don't treat is just hair bumps.
Absolutely.
Ingrown hair bumps. Mm-hmm. Razor burn. Those are very, very dry scalp, flaky scalp, overactive sweat glands. Those are things that you can offer relief from your chair to people who've never received relief of those things. So relief, I can guarantee you relief. Results, I'm not going to guarantee you a result because my idea of a result is going to be different from yours 90% of the time. You know, it's just like when people come into the barbershop and they bring you Instagram or Pinterest pictures of haircuts, that's a totally different texture.
Absolutely.
Total different ethnic background. Total different age. It's a 60-year-old man, 60-year-old African-American man with half his 50% gray coverage, a major beard, and he just lost 160 pounds, so his skin is loose, but it's also thin because he's in his 60s. He can't bring in a Pinterest picture of a 19-year-old Hispanic kid with a drop fade and straight black hair and say, I want a haircut just like this. And then you promise him those results because you are not going to be able to achieve them no matter what you do. You won't achieve. You can be the best barber in the world and you can get that man a fine haircut, but it ain't going to be one and one to that picture because the things just don't line up.
Official Clipperholic said some miss that fundamental when attending barber school.
Some miss that fundamental when attending. They do.
But we've talked about here too. The interesting part about barber school, and that's why I brought up Will Stanley in terms of what he's doing, is that we've been on here and we've talked a lot that we've all had different experiences. And unfortunately, there are a lot of barber schools that really don't go in depth with the fundamentals. It's okay, come in here, pay your money, get your hours, get it moving. You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, I think, you know, that the industry to some degree has suffered for a number of years because of that. You know what I mean?
Yes and no. Yes, because you're absolutely right. Both of you guys are right. A lot of barber schools just don't spend enough time, and some of them don't spend any time teaching that perspective of business ownership, really, I think. Individually driven business ownership. But I also think no, because once you make the decision to become a barber, we all understand, some people over understand, that you've made a conscious decision to take you taking faith in your hands, right? And you're making a conscious decision that I'm going to put all my efforts into creating success with this thing, right? I personally feel like if anyone makes that choice, right, you make that choice to enroll in barber school, put your efforts into your workload to find success, you should also have the wherewithal, right, to seek ways that you can best do that, right?
I agree, but I think that also comes with age. Sometimes also it comes from your surroundings, because unfortunately I think with social media, when we look at barbering, you know, and being older and families, we look at it from a different standpoint. We've talked a lot about social media, you know, providing that microwave type of mentality, right? And so a lot of people are just saying, hey, I want to go in there just to get these licenses, and I want to, you know, my goal is to become a celebrity barber, not necessarily make that impact in the community or give back or treat just regular everyday working people as my celebrities. They're looking at something far greater. So while I agree with you, I think sometimes, you know, this impact of social media, definitely there's pros and cons like we've talked about.
I think one of the biggest pros of social media that a lot of people don't talk about, me and you both get on here every week and we take a gut shot at social media for pushing real, you know, negative or vanity narratives, right? But I also think we gotta also, like you just did with Will Stem, right? Social media may offer a lot of jaded perspective on what you can and what you should become and what you should strive for as a barber, but that same social media also offers a lot of insight on what it looks like to reach for more success within the barbering industry through your education. Social media also offers how to investing yourself beyond your tools and implements. Social media gives you those options as well. I think, like you just said, the biggest thing you said that stands out to me is individually driven.
Right.
If the person doesn't have that desire to forward their career in that direction or forward their career to that type of barber, unfortunately, you can take a man to water, but you can't force him to drink. We said every week on here, it's only medicine if you take it. And unfortunately, in essence, everybody doesn't want that. And that's cool. It's a lane for that. You know, it's a lane for them to be of that caliber of a barber, right? I think desiring those kind of things does come with some type of maturity within the business. You have to, as some people would say, go out there and get your feet dirty. Yeah. You know, get your hands dirty and see what things that you do identify and what things you don't identify with within this industry. Because a lot of barbers come into it. Me, myself, you, yourself, a lot of pretty much anybody that's a barber, we had one idea of what this was going to be when we started. And I'm pretty sure it's not the same now, right? Right. Your experiences kind of give you a better viewpoint on what you want out of this, you know, what you enjoy, what's fulfilling for you, what's making room for your family, because out of this industry can diminish those things. It can take those things away from you. A lot of those opportunities that come with being a celebrity barber doesn't leave a lot of room for you.
Right.
It makes all the room in the world for your career to hit a trajectory that you wanted to hit or that you never knew it could hit. Right. At what cost, you know, and that takes a mature mentality to look at it that way. Like, that might not be for me,
right.
You know what I mean? Or that might not be for me forever. Right. It's okay to pursue it now, but eventually I want to be somebody that's going to be around. I want to last
right.
in this industry. The barbering industry right now is like a revolving door. You see, and guys come in and go out faster than you could check out at, I ain't gonna say Walmart, because they ain't never got no damn cashiers on the register.
Yeah.
The gas station, right?
Right.
So
like, because it's interesting, because they said their influencers may not stress the importance of barber school. And it's interesting because, you know, my son watching me cut hair. I was watching me cut hair early on. But he didn't see the process, right, of getting to that point, going to barber school. And so once he went to barber school, he realized, like, and it was funny because somebody came in one day. He said, how long did it take you to get your barber's license? He said, well, part-time, you know, 9 months, you know, full-time a year. And dude was like, man, I thought you'd get your barber's license in 6 weeks.
Shit.
I swear,
there's some shady dealer schools out here, you probably can,
but this
would make you no barber.
Right, but this was just a clown. So I broke it down. I didn't even have to say anything. At this point, he's like, man, it's a lot more into it than the average person thinks. There's a lot of science, you know, bacteriology, that there's a lot that goes into it that you guys don't think about because you just sit down and you get a haircut. Now, fast forward, my son Kendall is in barber school, and while he's seeing me and Osh doing the cutting, now he's jumping in the book and he's realizing it ain't all glitz and glamour. You have to learn, and you have a responsibility when these clients sit in your chair, you know. But a lot of people don't see that, so you know that vision sometimes, because unfortunately people take on, you know, what they like, whatever looks sexy, that's what they're chasing a lot of times. You know what I'm saying?
You bring up a dope point, too, that I didn't even think about.
Mm-hmm.
Not no negative knock on that client or no client, for the matter. But I think, unfortunately, the condition of barbering has positioned a lot of clients to believe that barbering is just a hustle.
Right.
It is something that anybody could do. It is something that anybody could pick up and learn, and anybody could be successful at it if they can learn how to give a good fade. Right? A lot of clients have that false understanding of what barbering is.
Yep.
So that raises the question, if more people like you, myself, and the Israels and the DJs and Fort Worth Barber Supply and the Hulk,
right.
If more people push and show positive, attractive results to implementing more specialist services into barbering.
Right.
I think, and this is spitball, right? I'm throwing shit against the wall. I think if more people took the industry of barbering and the profession of barbering more seriously, the expectation, or more importantly, the way that clients view barbers, eventually it'll start to change, because it changed before, right? If you go back to, you know, conversations with barbers back in the 50s and the 60s, nobody looked at barbers back then as just hustlers.
Right.
Barbers back then were treated with a dignity and respect. Right. They were treated, you know, with the same celebrity as governors and state officials.
Within their community.
Within their communities, absolutely. Absolutely, within their community. And fast forward, you know, 60, 70 years, and the barbering industry has become overnight success stories, and barbers want to be, or the barbering industry will want you to believe that barbers are meant to be celebrities. You know, they're meant to be public figures and influencers, and all of that is good for the industry because it's growing the industry. But again, like we said earlier, at what cost?
Because I think barbers, you know, good barbers are naturally celebrities in their communities because they're the go-to, they're the plug, you know, when you need, you know, you're going to a job and going to a date, you know, you got a court date, whatever it might be, right?
We're
who they, you know, vacation, you know, wedding, we're who they call upon. So I think in our communities, you know, it's we've always been celebrities, you know what I'm saying, well respected. And now in the golden era, which I call it, this era of barbering, is just elevated because now, you know, social media platforms put a whole nother shine. Like I was watching, I don't know if you've seen it, I was watching Marcus Harvey today. He put a reel on, you know, he's back out on the road with Nas, and he just had some wonderful pictures, just, you know, things that you couldn't imagine, you know, 10, 20 years ago that barbers would be able to indulge themselves in, you know, outside of, you know, just cutting hair, just the resources, exposure, things of that nature. And so while it looks extremely, extremely interesting to us, and we love to see the growth, you have some people come behind that just wanting to chase the idea, not the exposure and the things that he's learned just from being on the road, but they want to be with a guy like Nas where they can be
in that picture.
You know what I mean?
I think that's the result of social media, right? That's the result of how big social media is. Social media, like Yusuf said on a old podcast episode, social media gave everybody everywhere in the world a window into everywhere else and everybody else in the world. It's enormous.
Well, you got a memory like an elephant.
I do, bro. Listen, when stuff stick out to me, that I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna keep that because that's a jewel, bro. Yeah. That's a jewel.
Yeah.
And that's the power of social media, but that's also, anything good has to have some bad attached to it, right? Social media is this enormous, you can't consume it all platform, but it's being broadcast to imperfect people. None of us are perfect, right? Some of us worse, some of us better, you know, but we're all human.
Right.
So you're going to attract those people who can see the value in social media, and they're going to be the, because even with Marcus Harvey, take him for example, right? People see Marcus Harvey in pictures with Nas and all these, I mean, historical musicians, future Hall of Famers, right? But what people don't often know is they see that lens and that's a snapshot.
Right.
But if you have a conversation with the man in the picture, you'll also know that his love, passion, and desire to learn within barbering far exceeds anything that can be summed up in that photo, right? He is one of them barbers on the ground pushing the narrative, go invest in yourself, go and educate yourself, be a better person behind the chair. What that snapshot don't include is a 45-minute segment of him cutting just a regular Joe his chair in a shop. That person that he is in that behind that chair in that shop is the same person that he is on tour. The difference is real life and snapshots, they can't compare.
Right.
Unfortunately, you got a lot of people in this imperfect world that'll see the snapshot, like you said, they're chasing their chance to be in that photo. They want that result.
When in return, most of us are gonna be the individuals that cut in a community. We have, you know, revolving clients that come week after week. Most people, it's almost like in anything else, that 1%. Not many barbers are gonna get the opportunity to travel with an icon and go all over the world and receive those opportunities, but we still can have a great career and a lucrative career, might I add.
Probably better, to be honest with you, because I think that in itself, it depends on the individual. It depends on the individual. If you somebody, I talked about this with one of my clients. I started to record it, but I didn't because I didn't want to set up the camera and all that. If you're somebody who your schedule is flexible, you have flexibility, you don't have children, you don't have a spouse, right? Going out and cutting celebrities and you know, all these public figures and going out on a last minute, we need to fly you here, or can you meet me at this hotel? And that life will be conducive for you because you have that flexibility.
Right?
If you want it.
Right.
But if you're somebody who you got children, you got a spouse, maybe you run a business, your schedule isn't going to allow for that kind of flexibility. And even if it is your maturity going to allow for it? Are you somebody that's going to work for you?
Right.
Because just because you can don't mean that it's going to be good for you.
And it's a two-sided situation, because whatever you gain on one side, you're going to sacrifice some other things on the other side. And Marcus Harvey, you know, he spoke about that. I'm on the road all this time. So think about the time I'm not able to be with my family, with my kids and my wife. Yeah, I provide and I do a great job of providing, but there's a give and take with every situation.
Absolutely. And like we discussed earlier, that's where it goes into the individual factor. It depends on the person, your maturity level. But I think circling it back around to providing those additional services or sitting down and trying to figure out what services can be implemented that'll help you to sustain a higher expectation as a barber stylist.
Right.
Sit down with an esthetician. Sit down with somebody who has a degree in mental health and learn from them. Pick their brains. Learn from them. If you can go out and get certification from them, go get it. If you can go out and you can create a version of yourself that can be a superior barber, but also identify esthetician skin situations, right? Cleansing situations, holistic and medical. And you can identify mental and emotional health triggers. Well, now what you are providing in your little shop, in your little town, wherever you are, is a service that's going to give back to the community so much that hopefully you can inspire or you can encourage at least one other barber to want to pursue that same lane.
Right.
Now, two of y'all can influence four, right? You get four or five barbers in your town providing a service like that. Well, what happens is the expectations of barbers is going to shift. It's the same way as the price points. Price points in little towns used to be $5 and $15 for adults. Well, then barbers started to get on board with charging more for certain services or adding more services so that they can a la carte the service that you come into to the shop and get. You can get the haircut for 15, but you can get the enhancements for an additional 10. I could do the hot talent and razor for another 5 or 6. Now you're taking that $10, $15 haircut and you turn it into a $40 bill. Barbers, that was the first transition. Then they started to just compress it, put it all together. $45 to get you this, right? Okay. Well, what happened? Did you think the barbers that was going to stay around, that was around, was going to keep that $5, $15 price point? No. Eventually, right, they have to move in the direction of the trend. So now you go to a small town, the price of a haircut on average is $35, $40, right? Well, that started with one barber. You understand what I'm saying? That started with one barber.
Right, and moved the goalposts.
I wholeheartedly think that in this world, especially with social media, if you can create something attractive, I keep using that word because that's what people are looking for.
Right.
You can create something attractive.
Right.
It could be positive. It could be adding bricks to the foundation of this industry. If you can create that and you be the person, be the first person, be the pioneer to go out and push it,
right,
somebody will see that and want to, just like enhancement, somebody saw somebody doing it and that's attractive. I want to try that. They did it and they start doing it too. Now that's in the game. Imagine being the pioneer to change the trajectory of expectations of what a barbershop is, what a barber is. Imagine going to a barber anywhere as a barber, and the conversation is, "Oh yeah, that's my barber," and it's not, because now right now when people say that, "Oh, that's my barber," does it not sound like that's my employee? He worked for me. That's my barber. It's real possessive, is what I'm trying to say. Whereas if you change that expectation of what a barber is from just what people already, so people associate barbers with hustlers. You change that perspective. Now when people say, "Oh, that's my barber," now it'll be different. It'll be way different. It'll be, "Oh yeah, he cut hair, but he also helped me get rid of this, you know, this skin condition I've been going on with. Shit, he recommended my wife to this therapist. He got a network of, you know, therapists and you know, stuff that he's a great asset to have." That's a different conversation than he could cut hair good.
Right.
Now you can create a condition in your community where you don't have to go and travel to do, you know, millionaires' haircuts. You'll be worth $1 million in your community to people who probably won't ever see $1 million.
Absolutely.
That's a different, to me, that's what I want to be. I want to be the person that you want to have in your life. I don't want to be the person that you deal with when you feel like it, or when you know what I'm saying? I deal with it when I right. see it. I want to be that person like, "Nah, you gotta meet this dude. You gotta meet him. You need to know him."
That's the beauty of the industry.
It is.
Those are lanes that are available depending on where a person is and what they choose. And so, again, I just go back to saying that's the beauty, because there's no ceiling. Mm-mm. You know, there's no ceiling.
The ceiling is limited to your creativity.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you can think, listen, man, local barber brand, his agenda was a merch line.
Right.
Do you think when he went into this that he knew that it would explode the way it's exploded? Now he's in a position, a unique position, where he can create his own narrative. He can create his own. That's what barbers have. We have that power within our industry, within our business. You can create your own narrative. You could be whatever kind of barber you want. The only barbers that I don't support is ones who take from the industry and don't deposit anything back. I have no love for them. None.
Absolutely.
I take that back. I got love for them, because as long as barbers like that exist, barbers who don't share those ideals are going to flourish. Because to really appreciate a good experience, you got to have a bad one.
Right. And you know, again, you know, when I talk about our platform, that's the love I have for our platform, because we touch on so many issues, well-rounded. And again, it's just about, you know, pushing the industry forward, showing love, and motivating and inspiring. You know what I'm saying? It's always more than one way to skin a cat, man. And we're here to provide those ideas and be open to feedback and other ideas, man. And that's why I love what we do in the time that we spend on here, man, connecting with our people.
Yeah, most definitely, bro. Most definitely. I love it because it lets me get them thoughts out of my head, bro, because this stuff that just be stuck in my head, gang, for real. I'm around right. cracking jokes, laughing and stuff, but in my mind, it's a whole lot of wheels turning, and I don't always have an outlet to have that conversation with somebody that's going to be receptive to it. So I don't think I gave you your flowers publicly enough. I know I don't give them to you enough. I appreciate you, man, for putting this together and inviting me to be a part of it, because you don't know how much you're changing my expectations of not just this industry, but of myself by being associated with this. Because I feel like, just like with my family, with your family, right? When you get up and go out the house, you try to be the best representation of your family. This is my family. So when it comes to this, I want to be the best representation of that. So it's like, nah, we ain't just going to get on here and talk bullshit. We're going to talk something that makes sense.
Right.
And if it don't make sense, hopefully it challenges your understanding of what you're dealing with. Because a lot of people in this industry, and they don't understand. No, they don't know who they are. They don't know what they're doing. They're trying to find themselves and figure it out. And unfortunately, everywhere across this world don't have great mentors and don't have people who can plant those seeds of information in their mind. Well, a platform like this can reach out around the world and bring those potential mentors onto this on this channel, and you'll be able to see it and be like, damn, I need to DM with the dude. I need to talk to him. I need to, you know what I'm saying? Something that wasn't available to you in your immediate vicinity, where the power of social media can be used to your advantage. That's why I love this, bro. So I'm going to forever have these dialogues, because it may open up. You know how much stuff I learned from people on this podcast?
Yeah.
Damn, everybody we done had on here. Bro, I've been reading my Bible.
Right.
Thank you, Hulk.
I'm saying Hulk done it.
Thank you, S-Craft Blends.
Right. Hulk and S-Craft added.
I done moved all my money off Cash App and started focusing more on my finances.
Mm.
Thank you, Get Bing. Mm. You hear me? Thank you, Bashio.
Right.
All right. Yeah. So I take it to heart, bro.
I'm down. I'm ready.
10 toes strong.
You know, and whether you said it or not, I feel it. But I greatly appreciate it, man. And man, I definitely feel it. I don't feel like it's just words. I feel that, you know, this you done showed it time and time again. And you've held me to a standard to help me be better too. And we definitely are continuing to create a brotherhood, you know what I'm saying, even outside of this, man. And I think it shows how we get out on here.
Oh, most of that. It shows, you know what be the craziest thing, bro? Mm-hmm. When we have some of the people that we have on, especially some of the big, we done have some big names on here.
Right.
And when we talking to them, two things happen. One, I see the guard go down.
What's good, Angel Rose, man? We appreciate
what's
you.
Up, Angel? I see the guard go down first.
Mm-hmm.
I see the guard go down, and they start engaging.
And hold on before I let him get away. Also, Angel, I hit you in your DM, man. If you get a chance, man, check it out, man. I've talked to DJ. We talked to DJ, and we'd love to have you on, man.
Absolutely.
So get time, get at us, man.
Absolutely. When you get a chance, please check them DMs, bro, because we would love to have you on here to have a conversation with you, man, because that's the brother we got to meet out in CT, ain't it?
CT, when we flicked up and took the picture, we were staying in the same hotel. We were on our way to the grounds.
Bro, it was a brief meeting, but you left a mark. I want you to know that. You left a mark, so it would be great to have you on here, bro.
Man.
On it. Say less. But yeah, first you see people guard come down, and it's like, damn, okay, that's dope. Now you start, the conversation isn't, you go through that point where you're filling people out, then you get to the point where the conversation is just gelling, right?
Right?
At the end of that, I've noticed on this podcast, at the end of that conversation, at the end of the episode, the way that people went to my request box on that. Yeah, say less. Appreciate that, bro. The way that people speak highly of the podcast and speak highly of what they believe it to be and what they see it becoming, that's that confirmation that we're doing something that we're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
I go back and I don't know what y'all do, but I go back and I listen to them episodes. I listen to them over. The ones that, because it's different when you're involved in the conversation and then you go back and listen to the conversation. You pick up stuff that you missed, right? You see opportunities where it's like, damn, he made a good ass point and I don't think I caught it off the bat.
Right.
Next time, well, matter of fact, yeah, let me DM and ask him what he meant by that. You know what I mean? I love it, bro, because reaching out, speaking to people who have different experiences within this industry and they have very, very, very successful opinions. And they also have even the bad opinions. It opens your mind, man. You can't expect to grow if you're willing to be complacent in your own thoughts. And if you expect or if you accept your thoughts and your opinions as the only truth, you leave no room to grow.
And I think another thing, and I'm not, you know, just trying to pat us on the back, but as men, sometimes, you know, we're so guarded with that pride thing. And we've let guards down from the standpoint where we get people on here and we're in an industry, people inspire us, man. And they make us want to be better. Of course, our families, our children, our wives. But we're watching, you know, people do some great things that inspire us to want to be better, you know, in our everyday lives and what we want to do. And we celebrate that and give flowers. So that's definitely what this is about, man.
Yeah. I agree. And it's the industry is insane, bro. It's so many different ways people are approaching this thing. It's crazy, bro. Like, it's crazy. So we would be fools to not want to talk to people and find out what trends are you seeing? How are you addressing them? How are you avoiding the bad? How are you, you know, taking in the good? What things have you had to do to change your approach? What approach was working before you changed it? How's the change working? What's, you know what I mean? Like, I'd be dying to know that kind of stuff, because as barbers and stylists and estheticians, we all experience trend swings in the industry. It's part of it, you know? We all experience that. And trying to handle that, it's just like we was having a conversation in here in the shop, right? And Sarah, she was like, if you try to help every single person that got in your chair with every single thing they ever said as a barber, 100% of the time, you go crazy. Because one person can't handle it. And because one person can't handle it, why not tap into your network? This industry is a network. Why not tap into your network? Why not? A lot of the questions that I ask on here, I know for me personally, I believe for you too, they come from experiences. And I'm interested, I'm curious on how other people would or have dealt with them. A lot of times I talk to you just to make sure I'm checking myself, like, hey, I got da 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 da, but I don't know if I handled it right. What would you do? Or what's your opinion on it? And those little check-ins, be it private or online, they're vital, man. To me, I don't know, man. It just mean a lot to me, bro. So, yeah, I'm in, bro. I'm all the way in. That's why I'm in here hurting my damn brain trying to figure out how we're going to use this new system, man, because it'll help us to present a more polished product. I think what we have speaks for itself. It's just like dope in the 80s, baby. It sell itself, right? Sell itself. But we can't just keep selling it in this Newport cellophane wrapped up, burned off on the tip. No, we got to move over. You know, we got to bypass the 1010 seals and go straight back to the bottles.
Oh, good. Put it in the vial.
Yeah, we got to bottle that thing up and get it out. You feel me? So, yeah, man, it's. But to me, that's the dope part of this too, man. That's the part I enjoy. It's stressful at times. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's stressful at times. It's overwhelming at times. Yeah. But
one Blue Magic.
And Blue Magic, got that Blue Magic, right? It's selling itself. But once we have an episode and we wrap it, it's like an immediate affirmation, like, yeah, this is worth all that it may come with, it's worth it. Because at the end of the day, once we get it packaged and situated where it's on autopilot, right, now we can start having some fun, because we can really, the work won't be heavy work, if that makes sense. You understand? Right now, the work is heavy work, because hand-to-hand transactions. We ain't got workers out there on the block. We slagging that thing ourselves. Once we get that infrastructure, it's, you know, it's sell itself. Sell it. Sell itself.
Yes,
all you got to do is let people know you got it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, man. It sounds, man, sometimes it, you know, we just need to that decompress and be able to come on here and just, you know what I'm saying, hold the conversation, still talk about the industry, you know, in between. For everybody who was on, sorry, couldn't make it. Had family emergency, man, had to deal with the family. That's most important. We appreciate everybody tuning in every week, man. And again, just letting us know that what we're doing is worth it, man. We love what we do. We love this industry, man. It makes us feel whole. It feeds our family, takes care of our kids, man, and creates relationships with individuals that, you know, you didn't know was there before, man. So
absolutely,
we appreciate it. Follow us, man. Follow the page at @ICutMyWayOut_pod. Also, we're going to be transitioning slowly but surely over to live YouTube. TV will be on there doing some things. So we'll be back and forth on all platforms, man. So you can check out all of our full episodes in its entirety on the YouTube channel. So, man, just rock with it, you know.
And if you're not already doing so, go over to the I Cut My Way Out YouTube page and follow and turn on the post notification. Absolutely. When the transition happens, it's going to be fire.
Yes, sir.
You don't want to miss it. And it's still going to give you the ability to be a part of it. Matter of fact, big shout out to Cutflow Dre, because he kind of planted the seed on a way that we can package this and make it better. Cutflow, you wasn't on here earlier, bro, but we was testing out the new platform and things are looking good. We just, you know, we old fellas, you know, we seasoned fellas, so it's gonna take us time to get everything transitioned smoothly where we can do it right and have it done. So, but are moving forward with that. Also, I wanted to say this, right? I need to bring you in on this, right?
Okay.
So, Coldest Clippers, my boy Coldest, put out he put out a video.
Okay.
Real. When he was talking about how getting your lining, right? Things you can do as a client tips on how to get the best line. My chair doing 360. My boy, bro, okay. I did not have enough time in Atlanta. I was only there for a day and a half. My wife ended up not going, so I was down and back. But don't trip. You a drive away, so we going to pull up on you.
Right, no doubt.
He was talking about how clients' tips on how to get better liners. And he gave, I think, 5 tips, but he left some out.
Okay.
So I asked him already if we could remix his reel, okay, right? So what y'all finna see is a live recording of us, what we gonna put into that reel. So I wanna ask you, and I'm gonna ask the chat down there. So put your idea out there, because it may end up in the real.
Okay.
What are 5 tips that you can give clients right now on how to get the best lining from their barber?
5 tips. One, I think.
You waiting, I got one, but go ahead. If you go, I go, come on.
I was going to say, you cleanse hair.
Clean your hair.
A clean canvas.
Clean canvas.
First and foremost.
I got one.
Go
clean
forward.
Canvas is number one.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I cut my way out. Coldest Clipper tip. One, clean your hair before you go to the shower. Here's my second one. Mine gonna be a little controversial.
Okay.
Cause I respect Coldus for not putting it in there, but I'd have put it in there. Tip two, come here. Sit your ass still when you in a shower. Sit still.
Yes, sir.
When your barber cutting your hair, stop trying to sneak peeks in the mirror with your big head ass. Sit still. Every time you move and we got to reposition you,
right.
You got to find that baseline again. Right.
I got
it. Sit still. Number one, pre-clean.
Right.
Clean your hair thoroughly. Clean all the products out. Number two, sit still.
I got another
three.
Stop being a hair thought.
Ooh.
That means going to this barber, that barber.
Stop doing that.
You got somebody that pushed you back and you go to this barber, that barber, and then you sit in my chair and then you want me to give you that clean and precise lining where I'm trying to get, you know, new growth and all that to fall into the line. Stop being a hair thot.
Stop being a hair thot. Number one, clean your hair. Clean. Get the products out. Sit still. Number three, pick a barber and stick with them. Stop being a cheddar. Right. Number four, get your ass up. I'm talking you want to do while we doing the fade and we cutting the bulk off.
Right.
When I get to your lining or I'm lining up your beard and your mustache, I don't want to hear nothing. You can't talk no more.
Right.
Your conversation is done.
Right.
Whatever thought that you have, you was trying, you want to share.
Right.
You're going to have to hold it. Sit on it.
Right.
Your lining depends on it.
Right.
This is that part of the haircut when your mama tell you, hey. Because right. If you, let me tell you, oh, no, I'm going to leave that for the next. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you like Martin told him on Thin Line. You said, don't toss it. Hush the fuck up.
Hush the fuck up. Number one.
Right.
Pre-cleanse your hair. Take the products out. Number two.
Right.
Steal.
Yes, sir.
Number three. Don't be a chetta.
Yes, sir.
Number four. Zip it. When we get to the line, zip it.
What's the fuck up? Number five. While I'm concentrating and I'm on that line, don't be looking me in my eyes, man. don't, man. Look down, look away, let me don't make me feel uncomfortable.
Don't try to seduce me, sir.
That's it.
Don't do that. Be light skinned after the cut when you go to Walmart for the necessary. Yeah, don't do that in the chair. Number one, clean your hair, get your products out. Number two, sit still.
Yes, sir.
Number three, no chat thoughts allowed.
Absolutely.
Four, shut the fuck up.
Hush the fuck up.
Number five. What was number five?
Number five, don't be looking me in my eyes.
Five, stop trying to seduce your wife. And we're going to give you the I cut my way out bonus tip. Stop trying to give yourself linings in between your haircuts.
Absolutely.
You fucking up.
Absolutely.
You are dropping the ball, my boy. That shit look good to you when you get in the mirror, but once you get out and start, then you look in the mirror again in the bathroom, in the club, and your shit like it. You did that. Your barber didn't do that. You did that. And don't come back to the shop line saying, man, my barber fucking me. No, you the barber.
Right.
Number one, clean your hair.
Yes, sir.
Two, sit still.
Absolutely.
Number three, can't be chetta.
Absolutely.
Number four, shit, I forgot it again.
Hush the fuck up.
Hush the fuck up. Number five. Shit,
don't be looking me in my eyes when I'm trying to
seduce.
Absolutely.
And the bonus tip number six, stop trying to line yourself up in between.
Right.
Let you did you know here's a little fact for you. Did you know that when you're trying to line yourself up in between haircuts, you're taking away from the canvas of what your barber can work with to create a good line for you?
Absolutely.
The hair just hasn't grown back enough because you fucked it up before you came back in that 2 week period. Whereas if you let that motherfucker grow all the way out in 2 weeks when you come back, now we got more hair to work with where we can give you that crispy.
Absolutely.
So those have been the additional pro tips of how you can impact a better lining with your barber today.
Absolutely.
It's only medicine if you take it.
Been the I Come My Way Out podcast. Great night. We appreciate everybody, man.
Definitely.
With us, man. I appreciate you, man. And our wives joined in. My wife jumped in. I seen your wife jump in. Beautiful night, man. Follow us. Check the YouTube out. We're going to make this transition.
We got about 5 more minutes, Cutflow said, Adam, if we can.
Okay, go ahead, Adam.
We got about 5 more minutes because I'm burning up in the shop.
I took
the air off. I'm cooking it here. You don't see it, but I'm wet underneath this one.
Right. And I don't need that. Look, I don't want no static. Watch TV.
What you said?
Oh, my bad, bro. Yeah, I can't stay on it long anyway, but I just wanted to say what's up to y'all, bro, because I just caught the tail end of the what's the name. I'm still trying to catch up to all the haircuts because I was out of town this weekend. So,
okay.
What's good, bro? See you, man.
I got to get up on a lot. I got to get on it officially pretty soon, man.
Oh, most definitely.
So I can get a commercial. So I can get a commercial and everything.
Hey, listen. We're doing some different stuff over here, man. I seen that video. How dope would it be to add to that? Man, so I got another one pretty soon. Wavy Kev on here. We're gonna do one for Wavy Kev too, because he put one out there that I know a whole lot of people identify with. It's a lot of people out here stealing content. So Kev, with your permission, we would love to remix that and add the I Cut My Way Out touch to it. So with your permission, if that works for you, gang, we'll put a little spin on that thing too.
Right.
Dre, you be careful out there in that dark driving in the middle of nowhere with them babies, man.
All right, man. So heading out, man. Y'all have a beautiful night. We'll see y'all next week. Same time, same bat channel, 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Yep. Y'all have a good one. It's been real. Peace. Yeah.